5 and verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." Yesterday at the homecoming services for Covenant, they stepped all over this. Did you guys see that for those that were there? Man, they all up in this sermon today. Even down to the songs I had planned to say, man, this is there. And what the overwhelming theme, even though there was no theme mentioned, what quickly became apparent in every sermon preached is what I believe a problem every person is having, and that the problems and the troubles and the trials, they sure do seem to have racked up recently, haven't they? I look at our prayer request list, and it seems like every day the one that I keep grows longer and longer. And hey, please pray for this surgery, and oh, please pray for this cancer treatment, and oh, we've got so-and-so back in the hospital again. Speaking of which, pray for Barb's son. He's back in the hospital with Mercer. Pray for that, and even that right there, somebody goes in, they get a surgery, they get sick again, they got to go back again. Oh, it is so heavy, and we look at this world today, and all of the problems. You go to the grocery store and you see all the problems, and you're sitting there going, oh man, how are we going to do Thanksgiving? How are we going to do Christmas? How are we going to do these things? And oh man, the retirement, the budget, the finances, what are we going to do? The problems and the burdens, they build up and up and up. And so often we sit there and we say, there is no hope. There is no help. There's nothing we can do with this. And we must remember we have a God willing and able to bear our burdens. Well, you don't know the size of my burdens. Listen, I might not be able to carry your burdens. The person sitting next to you might not be able to bear your burdens. But there is nothing you can face on earth God cannot help you with. Well, if that's the case, brother, why didn't he just make everything wonderful? This is a cursed earth. He's made a second one ready for us. We got to get through this one to get to his answer. There's nothing he can do short of blowing this place sky high that would take away the burdens and the problems we have here in life. His solution comes in heaven. And if you want his solution, you better repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the perfect world. We don't live in the perfect world. We live in this one. One he made perfect and we loused up. But yet still, I'll comfort you. I'll heal you and your family. I'll care for you. Now look, there's conditionary language in this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Sometimes we got to go through the heat. Sometimes what the devil means bad for us, God will turn good. You may have to go through it, but he'll make sure you're stronger at the end of it. There may be no other option than for that death, for that sickness, for that loss of job, for that whatever, for that family feud, whatever. It may be necessary. It may be something that there's no way for you to get out of, but he'll make sure you're better off at the end of it. He'll make sure that you're stronger because of it. The song says, "I don't know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know who's got it. I know whose plans are higher than my mind could reach. I know whose strength is by far far outstretches what my imagination of what strength could be. and I know that He never fails. But what we see in this passage of Scripture is you've got to humble yourself to get to that point. There are many people out there that don't understand the goodness of God, and they don't understand the goodness of God because they've got it in their head that things should go exactly the way they want them to go. That we should all live forever and that we should all have cake, ice cream, and billions of dollars in our pocket and everything should be sunshine and roses. Well, guess what? We ruined that. That's not coming back in this earth. We threw it away and it won't come back. We got to humble ourselves. We got to humble ourselves and turn to God and say, God, whatever You say ought to happen, that is what I'm trusting in. That's what my faith is in, Lord. Whatever it is that You say. And then we will begin to see the good that God is doing. We must humble ourselves. Now some, their issues in humility are not because God's not giving them what they want. Some people, we pick on ourselves too hard. We don't see God's blessings in our lives. We don't see God's control in things. Some bad will happen in your life. You'll hide it up like you robbed a bank or something. Well, I don't want to talk about it. Why don't you want to talk about it? Well, it's embarrassing. I get it. There's some things we don't want to talk about publicly. But when it comes down to it, you've got to have proper expectations of yourself. I've known people who've gotten sick, gotten ill, went, had surgery, came back, and then all of a sudden they tell the church, hey guys, listen, pray for me. I'm in recovery. I had this massive surgery. And we're like, man, we could have brought you food. We could have gotten you a ride there. We could have sent you balloons or flowers. We could set it up to help you out. How come you didn't? Well, I didn't want anybody to know. You know, it's very... What'd you do to get sick? I mean, listen, I get a cold and flu season. You start licking doorknobs, you got what's coming to you. But most of the time, you're sick. It ain't your problem. That's not something you did. And yet we hide those things. And then sometimes we'll make a mistake or something bad will happen to us and we don't want to talk about it. Why don't we want to talk about it? Well, because everybody would know that I got problems. I'm looking at you. I know you got problems. Well, know how I know you got problems? You live here on this earth. As part of the contract, we sin, we have problems. So guess what? We've got problems. We got to humble ourselves to set proper expectations of ourselves. My friends, you can't predict everything. You cannot prevent everything. You cannot fix everything on your own. What do we need? We need the Lord's help. What do we need? We need our friends. We need support. We need the things that God has given us. The other part of humility is being able to look into the problem and see what's not working and make it to work in a godly way. So many people, that's their problem. Well, when was the last? I got a problem. We just don't have money for the bills. Do you have a job? Well, no. Why don't you have a job? Every time I get a job, I feel sad, so I have to quit. That's what somebody told me one time. Not on the phone. It was at a Thanksgiving dinner. Every time I got a job, I get sad. Not a medical thing. Not a chemical thing. Not the word depression. No, it just makes me feel sad that I'm at work all day and I can't be outside, so I quit. Well, do you think that maybe one is because of the other? Well, that's just not fair. We got enough money in this country that ought to... Isn't that crazy? Can I go to the grocery store and do that? Hey, listen, you guys have a lot of steak. I'm asking for 7 of them. Right? They'd laugh you out, wouldn't they? You'd end up on YouTube. Crazy person comes in, demands free steak. That's how it would happen. We got to have the humility to be able to look at our problems and say, you know what? Maybe the reason why I'm arguing with everybody is because I'm just not happy. And I got to get to the core of what's wrong with me spiritually so that I don't have this conflict everywhere. Hey, maybe the reason why I don't have money is because I don't have a job. Maybe the reason I've got this is because I keep doing this. We got to have some humility, square up with the Word of God, look into it like a mirror, and let it do its job. And the next thing we need to do as part of our humility and our humbling ourselves is to actually give those problems over to God. God, what is your solution? Lord, I'm going to give this to you, and I'm not going to worry about it. Whew, that's hard, isn't it? Just, isn't that easy to say? Go ahead and just say it in your head real quick. God, I'm going to give this to you, and I'm not going to give it back. It's easy to say, just flows like butter. It's hard to do, isn't it? Man, we peck at that thing like a Rubik's Cube, just whatever problem we have. I've given that illustration before, that if I were with the children of Israel, and if I were Moses standing before the Red Sea and Pharaoh's armies would come in, I'd be like, Lord, listen, we got to get over there. Army's coming over here. Now look, maybe there's a shallow end. That's not what Moses did. Moses was a man. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But guaranteed there'd be many of us sitting there trying to shovel the water out of the way. You know, what do we do? Getting the dukes up, ready to fight the Egyptian army as they come barreling down. Stand still and see the salvation. There are many things that God tells us to do. Pray, read, forgive, work hard, all the things that make up good Christian principles. And we go through those one day. All these things that you must do, all these things that you should do. You continue to do those until God parts the water. But what you don't do is you don't worry. You don't fuss. You don't panic. Why? Because I know it is better in God's hands than mine. That's a humbling thought. Because in our pride, only I can fix this. In our pride, only I can guess at this. We must turn it over to God. Why? Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. His hand is mighty. It is mighty to comfort. There is not a hurt, there is not an issue, there is not an anxiety that God cannot solve. Melody was crying one day. She'd gotten down into the sub-basement, and she was screaming. And I said, okay, what's wrong? Maybe she saw a shadow, maybe she bumped herself, maybe she hurt herself. But Dad was there to fix it. And she's pointing underneath cloth, and she's pointing, and we got our laundry there, and she's pointing underneath one of the towels, and she's just screaming, and I go, baby, what is it? I lift the towel up, and I saw a giant spider, and you just saw that big heroic dad go, hey, there's some things that are bigger than my hands. Not the spider, it was close, but there's some things that are bigger than my hands to fix. And while I tried to comfort my daughter, I got a little uncomfortable myself. Where did that come from? How did it get in? Did it knock on the door? Do I have to charge it rent? I was uncomfortable. What round of ammunition am I going to need to put this thing down? It was a massive looking thing. God doesn't do that. God doesn't look at your problems and go, oh! Could you imagine going to a doctor? You're in the emergency room. Isn't that what you want? You want whatever it is that got you, whatever it is that hurt you, you want to sit there and have the doctor look at it and go, oh, that's a broken leg. Well, we fix that all the time. Don't you want that? That makes me comfortable. When the doctor looks at it and he goes, oh, okay, I see. We just got to do this and do that. You're okay. What I don't like is if you were to go to the doctor and the doctor were to go, ooh, Bill, get in here. That would terrify me. Like this one. Oops. Wouldn't want to hear that at a doctor's office. Wouldn't want to hear that during surgery. Oops. That's terrifying. God's never uncomfortable with our situations. That's because it's not him. Oh, no. Remember in Hebrews, we see that he is not untouched by our infirmities, which means if it's touching you, it's touching him. If it's bugging you, it's bugging him. The same way if your child was struggling, it would bug you. That is the God we serve. His hand is mighty. He can bear our burdens. He could carry our frustrations. He could comfort us in the midst of whatever is happening. We see that his hands are mighty to protect as much as they are mighty to fix. I've often had to pray that prayer. No doubt you have too. Lord, please don't let this happen. Father, I was talking to the doctor. The doctor said this is a possibility. I would really like you to not make that a possibility, please. And you know, there's been many a times we showed up and the doctor said, hey, good news. It's not that thing we were concerned about. Sometimes I wonder, was it that the doctor was just being broad in their language, you know, kind of under-delivering, over-promising kind of a thing? Or is it that God stepped in and fixed the situation? Sometimes I go to bed at night and I thank God for the problems that I could have had, but He stopped before I even noticed they were there. The things, the storms, the just wretched things that could have been, the accidents, the wrecks, the whatever, that could have been, but God kept it at bay out of His watchful hand. Just to protect me. And He does that for each and every one of us, just protecting us. The accidents that could have been, the thefts that could have been. My wife and I, we were lying in bed one night. This is when we were first married. We rented an apartment, and we had three dogs in this apartment. One was a black German Shepherd. One was a Rhodesian Ridgeback mix, big, big, big dog. And the other one was a Siberian Husky. Not a great combination. Oh, no. That did not last long. The Husky we were raising and training to go send off to the races. So we put all the effort we could into getting her ready, and she's still out there doing that now. It's pretty cool. But somebody tried to get into our house or get into our apartment, and they had gone over, and you could hear them tapping on the glass, and they're trying to get something into the lock to unlock the window. And on the inside, we woke up to all three dogs. He dropped, I'm sorry, whoever's crying, I'm sorry. He dropped whatever it is right there in front of the window and took off. And I wonder how many things have come to get you and how many things have come to get me, and they were about to get through that window, they were about to get to you, and God drove them off. Maybe not as dramatically as a dog barking, but just got a flat tire. Maybe you lost your keys and you were 5 minutes late. I wonder how often God's protecting hand has been there and we never saw it. We can't just praise Him for the ones we see, and oh my, are there things we see. And not just can He protect us, but He can fix what is broken. Maybe not restore it to the way that it was. Sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. It all depends on where He needs you to be. These things, these terrible things that will happen anyway, sometimes He'll use them. But what He does do for us is He cares for us. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all care upon Him, for He careth for you. He cares for you. Not just that He cares as in, well, I care on what's going to happen on my favorite TV show. I care if they do this. I care if they do that. No, He takes care of you. He takes care of you. For her birthday, Melody got a doctor set, and we have all been taken care of. She has no idea what any of the things do, but she works them with proficiency. She comes over. She's got a little blood pressure cuff. She looks at it, and she just, every now and then she just goes, I don't know who taught her to do it. It's the cutest thing. And she sits there, and she cares for you. And she's got a little flashlight. She sticks it right in your eye. She goes, you have an eyeball. I said, yes, I did. She cares. Just that care there. Now, of course, sometimes it seems more like abuse than the other thing, but God looks after your infirmities. He looks after your weaknesses. He looks after the things that don't work right, and He provides you with what you need to get through. He cares for you. It is a loving way of taking care of someone. He will carry your burdens. Matthew 8:17, the bottom part of the verse says, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He takes these things upon Himself. Now listen, for those of you with chronic pain, sometimes that chronic pain questions your sanity. It is in those moments we go to the Lord for comfort, to protect our mind, to provide relief for our bodies. He will take care of us, sometimes by removing the issue, sometimes by comforting us through it. But either way, it is far better than doing it alone. If you will, continuing on in my oddity here, hymn number 275. I asked you to submit these hymns, and I haven't really told you who was given and what, but I will tell you, you probably don't have to tell you, this one was mine. I have you go ahead and stand with me if you don't mind, if you can. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, with my soul, it is well, with my soul, it is well. Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let assurance control. Listen here, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed His own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. Sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear. The day. shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Amen. You may be seated. As we read through this hymn, as we sang it, we see that first verse, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And you sit there and very much like as we have read up to this point, that's where we are. Lord, you've taught me that whether it is good or whether it is bad, it will be well, right? Like the woman that Elisha spoke to, it will be well. Right? And whether it is chronic pain, loss, grief, suffering, mental pain, physical pain, financial issues, marital issues, friendship issues, family issues, whatever problems, we have been taught to say, it is well. And as we continue on in our reading, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Since the day we fell in the garden, we have had problems. And these problems have been significant. They have been hunger. They have been health. They have been safety and security. They have been war. They have been disputings. They have been within ourselves. They have been without of ourselves. And the devil, he provides them. Oh, he loves to cause us problems. And I firmly believe that he has taught us some things. He has taught us how to look for some things and produce some things for us and showed us where to find some things that we may put into our bodies and into our minds and through our eyes and through our mouths that would further corrupt us. And when we are good and in pain, and when we say it is no longer well with our souls, that is when the lion may come to eat. And rest assured, that is exactly what the devil wants. The devil wants you distracted with problems. The devil wants you hurt and burdened to the point to where there is nothing you feel can be done about your issue. He wants you there. So that way he can stand before God and say, look at this pitiful, poor, wretched creature who has forgotten their faith. Look at this thing that was so easily beaten by this problem or another problem. And they took my poison, and they failed to turn to you, and they're not putting your resources in place to fix the problem. Look at them. That's what you sent your son for. This is the best it can be. You're not the God you should be. They're not the people they should be. And you know what? The devil may get you. Your health may get you. Your brain may get you. But you never let you never get to a point to where you're a good example for the devil to use. What you need to do is you need to turn it around. and say, in the midst of what I'm going through, I will praise the Lord. In the midst of what I'm going through, I will never stop fighting. I will continue on to put my feet forward, to live my life, to honor God with my behavior, to trust in Him for my deliverance. Thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Because if you followed Him and you've pushed through these times, no doubt you can point to many where you said, my life was upside down, and God set it back upright again. There's going to be moments where you can point back to you and say, I've struggled through this, and I felt that through His provision, I wouldn't have gotten through it without Him. Or as I like to say in my home, He has never failed us yet. He will not fail us now. It is not within my God's ability to fail. And we've dealt with loss. We've dealt with pain. We've dealt with insecurity. We have dealt with a lack of resources. We have dealt with all things. And it was painful and it was destructive, but God caused us to grow through it. And I can sit there and I can look at the growth that took place afterwards, and I can look at the strength, and I can look at the change, and I can look at the bond growing closer between my wife and I and God, and I can sit there and say, Lord, thank you. There was a time in our lives where it would every now and then become my prayer, Lord, please don't let me lose my job. Working in apartments, if you worked for that particular apartment community and somebody bought out your property, what would be common is for them to go in and remove a certain number of the staff, implement some of their own staff, or eliminate all the staff and just bring their whole crew in. And I think we went through that four or five times where I'm sitting there going, somebody has bought our property. I might not be. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And you know what? Every time. Well, why don't you come stay on? Or why don't you come in? What eventually came to happen is that I got to work for the company that did the buying. So I was the one who went into the properties. And I was the one who got to stay when those properties sold. And that was fantastic for me, and I got to praise the Lord for it. You know what? The Lord didn't solve it by filling my pocket with money. The Lord didn't solve it by making me the world's best entrepreneur. He solved it by letting me keep the job I was working for. Well, how do you know that was the Lord? Because I'd sit there and left and right and watch people get fired. That's how I know. I know that there's people that were better at what I was doing, and they didn't get to stay, but I did. I know that there's been moments where I have disobeyed God and things have swallowed me up. And I know that there's been moments where I've obeyed God and He's pulled me out. I know who's pulling the strings. He has taught me to say, it is well. What about that time you and your wife didn't even want to get out of bed? You guys were just so down. You were so depressed. What about that day? There was a day where I got to come back out of it. There's the day I stood up. That second verse here, though Satan should buffet. Now, when I was a kid, I used to think that word was buffet. But hold on. Let's look at the verse we're reading here. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So, though Satan may buffet, the trials may come. And sometimes you're going to feel that way. You're going to feel like the devil's at a buffet in your life. He's going to take a little bit of your sanity. He's going to take a little bit of your wealth. He's going to take a little bit of your good sense. He's going to take some. He's just going to have little bites all over. You're going to feel that way. And those trials, they're going to come, and they're going to turn you upside down, and you're going to lose all faith in humanity, and perhaps even lose faith in God. These trials will come. But it says this in this beautiful poem, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed His own blood for my soul. No matter how bad it gets here, it won't affect over there. It ends here. If you're here and you're saved and you deal with a problem that ain't going away, maybe you're going to, I'll probably have this the rest of my life. You're only going to have it for the rest of your life. It can't follow you. If you're here and you're saved, well, my body's in pain all the time. Your body's going to stop feeling pain when you get to heaven. You're going to have a body that never feels pain. Why? Because there's never any pain. Now, for those that are lost, it's different. You go out of the frying pan and into the fire. But for those of us that are saved, you'll never worry about that again. It stops here. He will answer that prayer. As Roger Bennett said, he's going to heal me one way or the other. Either he's going to heal me here in my body. He dealt with, I can't remember what stage cancer it was, but he did end up dying from it, leukemia. He goes, or he's going to give me that ultimate healing where I'm never sick again. He goes, either way, I know he's going to heal me. Why? Because he shed his own blood for my soul. He shed his own blood for my soul. Verse 4, and Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Why? Because these problems, they're not going to follow me. They stay here. Now, it is my job to stay here and fight them for as long as God wants me to stay here and fight them. It is my job to become better because of them for as long as God has me here. It is my job to help others as they go through it the same. Why? Because you're not the only one going through it. As a matter of fact, looking at this verse, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. That tells you a few things. Number one, not only is God taking care of you, not only is God watching over you and God there to comfort you, but number two, there are other people going through the same shenanigans and they can comfort you too. And they can help you and give you advice. And that's all, we got to give ourselves to that. The next thing it ought to show us, that you can be a help and a comfort to others. It's never just one thing. Well, why would God make me go through all this just so I can help others? Listen, God never does just one thing. God never does just one thing. But if you've got to go through something, at least be a comfort to others who go through it too. If you have to struggle, at least be there at the end to help others who struggle as well once you got your legs underneath you. It is a wonderful thing. To have God's protection is a wonderful thing, to have brothers and sisters around us to help and uplift us during these things. These are the things we have. These are the things that make it well within our soul. Our burden is on Him. It is well. He can handle the problem. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory of Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And by the way, isn't that what hits you during these problems? When you've got burdens and you have a hard time carrying them, isn't this what messes with you? Your imperfections? I'll get into a problem, I'll sit there and say, man, I wish I had a better mind. I wish I had a better brain. Oh, I wish I was a little bit stronger. I wish I had the experience. I wish I had the tools. I wish I had whatever. My imperfections. When it comes down to my burdens, man, I feel my imperfections. Man, you feel the weight sitting on your bones. You feel the sweat dripping off of your brow. You feel everything. Every one of your insecurities. Man, you feel them during a problem. But not the Lord. He can correct you. He can fix what is broken. That word perfect means to complete. He can complete you. Whatever it is that you are missing, He can supply. Establish. That's another problem that hits us during our issues. We become unstable. Maybe it is an instability in the mood. Maybe it is an instability in the way of thinking. A lot of folks, when they go through prolonged problems, particularly you see that in health issues or things like that. But when you're dealing with a large amount of stress over a long period of time, it is not uncommon for your mental faculties to begin to dull. You're not as quick. You don't think things through as well. You begin to slow down. There's an instability there. Whatever the instability is that is going on in your life, your decision making, whatever, God will establish you. He will settle you out. He'll make sure that you are stable in your decision making, stable in your thought process, stable in your mood, if only you seek Him. What's another one we have during our issues? Oh, it's weakness. I don't feel strong enough. I don't feel capable enough. Oh, I'm struggling in this area. God will give you strength. How many times have you had to pray, Lord, there's this thing I want to do. There's this thing I know I need to do, but everything in me is struggling to do it. Lord, help me. And you know what you do after you pray that prayer? You get up and you do the thing. And it works. God gives us the strength to do. I've met a lot of people, I don't know if I could handle this. I don't know if I could do that. This is what God is asking me to do during my hardship, but I don't think I can do it. You ask Him, and I guarantee you, if God wants you to do it, you will be able to do it. It might not look pretty. It might not be a textbook example of doing it right. But I assure you that God will give you the strength. And next thing He says is, I'll settle you. I'll settle you. Man, sometimes your brain gets to feeling like a bag of cats fighting, doesn't it? So many thoughts, so many occurring things at the same time. He'll settle you out. There's a peace that God could bring upon your heart, and it'll issue to you clarity. And clarity is my favorite. I hate when there's no clarity in a problem. But God will give to us the clarity. He will deliver us. He will establish and strengthen us. He will settle us. Hymn number 481. I'll let you sit for this one. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Midst the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know Thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storm never dark in the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more,
till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore, in that land where the tempest never comes. Lord, may I dwell with thee till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more. Roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
This is a song that one who has gone through storms can truly worship in. As we look back at our text, verse 11, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. I ask you to recall the time when the Lord, he found himself asleep in the bottom of the ship, and the disciples, they found themselves in the middle of a storm, and they were very panicked over the storm. Why? Because it was a very real storm. It was a very scary storm. And they did not think to go down and ask Jesus for help until the last minute. And there they are, the, hey, master, carest thou not that we perish? And waking him up, hey, don't you see what's going on? How are you still asleep with all this happening? You know why the Lord could sleep during the storm? Because that storm listens to him. And the thing is that the storm was obedient to Christ. If the Lord told the storm to calm down, what would it do? It immediately calmed down. See, so often it is not the storm outside of us that is the issue. It is the storm that remains inside. It is our emotional response, our explosion, our panic, our turmoil. Oh, look at the terror. Look at everything. Don't you forget for a second that the dominion is his forever. That with the same hand that he could use to convict your heart, to bring you to his salvation, he could calm you in the midst of anything. Yes, it is true. Some storms he rebukes and he calms. Some he preserves you through. When the long night has ended and the storms come no more, let me stand in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. In that land where the tempest never comes, Lord, may I dwell with thee when the storm passes by. The storms that we face here, both the ones here, the ones in our flesh, the ones exterior, the ones in your pocketbook, the ones in the bed sitting next to you, in the storms we face, there comes a day when no storms can be anymore. And that is the question. It is not whether or not there will be storms. We know there is. It is not whether or not God is capable of either preserving us or ending the storm. We know that He is. It is a matter of where will you stand when all other when all the storms cease. It gives me hope to know that if the Lord gives me another 50 years, if the Lord gives me 5 years, if the Lord gives me 5 hours after we depart, that I would stand this storm with Him, whatever it is. And then when the last blow has touched my face, when the last bit of wind, the last drop of rain, that I would be standing in Him. That I would be in heaven, standing before Him in a peace that I have up to that point never experienced. I took a walk I think it was Thursday. I took a walk. I've always been daring myself. You know, we're only 2 miles away from the church. I keep daring myself to walk up to the church. I walked up to the church, and wouldn't you know it, that's when that snow fell, that hard, sleet-like snow fell. And if you were outside when that fell, you'd see just how beautiful it was. They immediately taking it up to the top 5 walks I have ever taken. It was beautiful. And I was walking up to the church, and just as I was about to round the corner, it tapered off and it was done. And I go, oh, okay. I wish all storms in life were like that one. Beautiful to watch, easy to walk through. And of little effect. There was no snow on the ground afterward. There was no effect afterward. It was just, well, that sure was nice. And I got up to the church and I got to work on some stuff and it was beautiful. In this world, we're going to face storms. And some will leave you better, some will leave you worse. But in the end, where do you stand when your life is over? When there can be no more storms, when there can be no more problems, will you be in heaven or will your real problems just begin? These words that we sing, they mean nothing if we do not honor, respect, and know God. It is hard for someone who has lived a perfect and easy life to understand what we mean by till the storm passes by. If you've ever had to sit there and day in and day out fight a problem, you might not understand what He means by till the storm passes by. But I will guarantee, I think, most of you do know exactly what that's like. To sit for days on end. You need to be close to the Lord during that time. You need to pray. It was very hard to pray. I know. That's kind of what the devil's doing there. We don't understand. It's very hard to think clearly. Look back at that verse. Who's going to help you? Well, I don't have the strength to do this. Who's going to give you strength? It's like saying, I don't have enough gas in my car to go get gas and then drive on to the other things I have to do. You'd say, no, that's foolish. You get gas first. And then you go do the things you need to do. Many of us say, oh, no, I have to live my life because it's too hard right now. No, you go to the Lord. And in the end, when this life passes by, have I repented of my sins? Have I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior? Do I believe He died on that cross for me? So that while there may be storms I'm waiting to pass by here, I know they'll be done by the time I get there. Or is it a question? Is this what I must face? And then in facing it, when life ends, now there's nothing but more pain, more torment, an eternity of regret. The greatest storm you will ever face is whether or not you are saved. You could have all the medical issues, all the financial problems. You could have it worse than Job. But if you die without the Lord, your problems are just beginning. And you could have it worse than Job. And when you die, You stand in His presence, in His reward. One day, one way or the other, all the storms will pass by. Have I put my burdens upon Him? Have I relied on Him for my salvation? Have I worshipped Him for His goodness to me? That's a weird thing to talk about, suffering and worship. Man, you put us in prison. You look at Christians down through the century, you put us in prisons. What did we do? We sang. You know what some of us crazier ones did? When they would put them up on stakes to burn them. Because we didn't take the Eucharist. We didn't see the Pope as a replacement for Christ. You know what they did? They put us up on a stake. You know what some of them did? They sang on the stake. They sang on the stake. We have always turned our troubles into worship. Always. And we say to ourselves, we are in the end days. Which means one day we will have to go and speak to these people that held the faith and worshiped God when their homes, their livelihoods, their health, their children, their wives, what had been stripped from them. And they still worship God. We're going to have to go meet them one day and say, well, what happened? Well, you know, politics and atheism and... We just didn't worship that way. And we didn't worship because we didn't want them to think we were, you know, crazy. And we didn't worship that way because we didn't want them to think we were Pentecostal or New Age. Or we didn't want to... Folks, Bible says that if we were to stop praising God, the rocks themselves would cry out. No stupid boulder's going to take my opportunity. Let us worship God. Turn to Him, follow Him, and obey Him. That we may see these storms pass by. That we may be comforted in these storms. And that when all the storms are gone, we may stand in His presence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, if I've committed some atrocity by doing the worship service this way, I pray You forgive me. But Lord, it is my desire for us to retune our hearts to what it is that we're singing. That Father, it not just be bland, formulaic behavior, but Lord, instead... worship. That Father, these utterances, these poems, they would be things uttered from our heart into Your ears, and that Lord, it would be sweet in Your ears. Father, I pray that You forgive us of our sins and help us through our storms. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.